Good morning. Let's turn to James chapter 3. James 3. We've been turning here for I don't know how long, but James 3. James chapter 3. James 3, and we're going to start in verse, excuse me, 13. James 3:13. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's also turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and your goodness. And Lord, so many blessings that, Father, they're too many to count, too many to remember sometimes. But we do pray, Father, to just have humble hearts, thankful hearts, Lord, just seeing how you love us, take care of us, provide for us. We thank you for the privileges to be able to gather here. We thank you for the fact that we have your word and that we can have confidence in it. And Lord, that through it, we can have everything we need for life and godliness. We just pray to be more and more willing, Lord, to rest upon it and live by your Spirit. Just lead, guide, and direct this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at easy to be entreated there from James 3. And we've been looking at these three different categories here in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. We've been looking at the unruly, the feeble-minded, and the weak. And last week we ended up looking in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And that is his goal. That's his goal, is to devour us. And we can see that sometimes physically. We can definitely see that spiritually and just trying to get us distracted. But let's look in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Sometimes we might think that we're immune to some of these things, that we're not susceptible to being unruly or feeble-minded or weak. But every one of us, you know, well, just like in Job's situation, not that he became unruly or feeble-minded, but the point is, you know, if all those things that came upon Job came upon us, you know, where would we stand? You know, or even maybe just one of them. I mean, if we experienced the health difficulties that Job experienced, you know, or if we experienced the loss of home, or maybe not even a home, but maybe the loss of our ability to earn money. You know, I've thought of that recently. You know, what if something happened where, you know, I lost the ability to be able to work, I mean, because of a physical problem. Or, you know, like Pastor mentioned the preacher on Sunday night from the hymn history about how back then there wasn't any house insurance. And, you know, but probably a house that they had saved literally for decades or been working toward being able to build for decades is gone. What kind of a state of mind, excuse me, would we be in? So there's different things that can come upon us. We have no idea what tomorrow holds, this afternoon holds. We don't know. We don't know. But that was just a second here. The hymns this morning, 175, standing on the promises. The last verse there, standing on the promises, I cannot fall. You know, that is our ability to stand. It's the promises. It's the Word of God. When we stop dwelling on, meditating upon, holding on to the promises of God's Word, we're going to fall. But when we continue to hold on to them, we will not fall. We will not fall because we're living by faith. And we know God's going to uphold us. And here's another key, the next phrase of the hymn here, listening every moment. Every moment. You know, sometimes I'm guilty. Sometimes we sing the hymns, and, you know, if we have it memorized, we just kind of say the words. And I'm guilty of that at times. You know, mine's here, mine's there. You might not struggle with that, but we just kind of mindlessly say the words because we know the words. But we need to let it minister to our hearts, listening every moment to the Spirit's call. And see, the thing we have to understand and remind ourselves of is the Spirit is calling every moment, always trying to get us to stand on the promises. You know, and if it's a physical or a financial or who knows what kind of a problem, there is something to stand on. There's truth that we need. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. And that's only true if we are standing on those promises. And it can be true no matter what the difficulty. Standing on the promises of God. And that that's so key. That, I mean, it's not just key, it's the key. You know, what's going to set us free? The truth is, from our frustrations, from our difficulties, from fear of the future. I mean, we don't know what the future holds. But 1 Kings 17 here, 1 Kings 17, excuse me, actually, I'm sorry, 1 Kings 18 is what I'm looking for. 1 Kings 18, in verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Excuse me. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Pardon me. Verse 10. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the 50 prophets, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And we're familiar with this, but I think it bears reading it. I mean, this is a fantastic and terrific showdown. I mean, we've got one, and we've got 800, if I'm doing the math correctly here, which I hope I am, and 850. I mean, what kind of odds are those? One versus 850. Well, does the Lord need many to win? He can win by many or by few. He doesn't need a multitude. He just needs those that are on his side to be faithful. To be faithful. Excuse me. Let's see. Verse 21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. A lot of life is just about who is God and what is God like. And what happens is the situations that we encounter sometimes make us wonder. But we've always got to go back to the promises. God is good. No matter what, God is good. You know, last week I bordered a little bit on whining about my finger. You know, mentioned my finger and how I whacked it with a with a hammer there. But you know, it's almost gone now. And I looked at it last night, and even this morning, it looks even better than it did last night. And it's amazing how the body heals itself. If we ever think about that, I mean, just okay, I've got this thing that looks really nasty, or somebody gets hurt in some way, but the body will fix itself. You know, but people want to say that all happened by accident. I mean, how many people would have survived the body not fixing themselves if evolution was true? Well, nobody would have, because they would have got some kind of infection or whatever and would have just taken them out. I mean, but it's amazing. You know, God makes our bodies to fix themselves, to fight off infection, you know, to take care of themselves. Now, obviously, we wear down, but God has made things just marvelously, and that shows God's goodness. You know, that shows his holiness. That shows how he wants to take care of us. But the question is asked, if the Lord be God, follow him. And that's what we have to ask ourselves sometimes when the winds blow, the trials come. Is God God? Of course he is. Well, then we can trust him. We can go through this. You know, there's many times in life we just want something removed. You know, we want this trial removed. We want this disappointment removed, this frustration removed. But see, you know, we're not perfect yet. And God wants to use that trial or frustration or struggle to help us to depend more upon him. And if that was removed, then we're not being prepared for the next thing God wants us prepared for. Because we don't have the faith. We don't have maybe the discipline, the sober-mindedness, whatever it might be that God's trying to produce in us, if he just removes those things from our life. It doesn't happen like that. Now, we'd all say amen or thank you if it could, but then what kind of maturity would we actually have? We just wouldn't be what God could use as he wants to. Verse 22 here, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. It's an even ground matchup here. There's not an advantage. There's not an advantage so far. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. But you know what? They should have said, it is well spoken, way back when Elijah said, if the Lord be God, follow him. That's when they should have said, it is well spoken. God is God, and no one else is, but that's what we got to do. You know, we can't let ourselves think God is God because of a circumstance. He's God whether the circumstance goes our way or not. You know, because let's be honest. Let's be sober about this. Circumstances don't go our way a lot of times. They don't. They don't go our way many times. And so let's not be of those who say, okay, you know, if God will prove himself, you know, here, then I'll believe he's God. No, God's God whether or not, you know, we come out on the plus or the minus in different situations. Excuse me, verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. I mean, can you imagine the... Well, it really isn't faith. It's, I don't know what you'd call it. I mean, for them to think that, you know, this false god's actually going to bring fire down. I can see them there scratching their head like, okay, the thing's going to get burned, but we're not going to put fire under it. How's this going to work? How's this going to work? Excuse me, verse 26, and they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Yesterday, we took my mom home. She was with us for a few days, and she had a new key made, and the key wouldn't work in her door. But one of her neighbors had a key that she left with her. You know, they kind of, you know, when one's gone, if they need whatever. But the neighbor was asleep, and the neighbor takes her hearing aids out when she goes to sleep. And so I tried to call the neighbor, no answer. Tried to call the neighbor, no answer. Well, it's like my wife's father. If he doesn't have his hearing aids, then he's probably not hearing a hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado. You know, probably the whole roof of the house would be blown off, and he'd still be there sleeping probably. But anyway, we couldn't wake her up, the neighbor of my mom, to get the key. Well, she went and got the manager, and we got in it fine and stuff. But you know, they're not gonna wake up Baal. He doesn't exist. I mean, he's just a demon. You know, and there's all kinds of demons at work today with false religion. Out at the sheriff's camp Thursday night, guy out there named Stephen. And two guys I'd never seen before were there. And so I, you know, try to find out a little bit about them. Kind of interesting. And one of them actually was a former student of my nephew at a school down in Grand Rapids. And it's just sad, because I know my nephew, and I know the kind of influence he's trying to be on his students. But, you know, people just, these guys just throw it away for women, marijuana, alcohol, whatever. But this one guy said, well, this guy Steve, and I said, do you go to church? Yeah, I go to a Baptist church. And I said, okay. I don't know where he said, like, Standale or something it was. Well, then we prayed, and he went like this. And I said, are you Catholic? Yeah. Well, I said, I thought you went to a Baptist church. Well, my girl goes there. You know, and so to too many people, what church you go to makes no difference. It doesn't matter. If you go to church, then you must be a Christian, and you must believe in God. And there's just that mentality. You know, we had a day out at school this week. Wear purple for tolerance. Well, I was thankful I didn't have anything purple. Because it was like, the idea was is that, you know, differences don't matter. Well, to God they do. And for people that are not washed in the blood, there will be an eternity of difference. And it's just like Luke 16 that I brought out to those guys Thursday night. There is a difference between people. But all it is just trying to water everything down so that nobody thinks that differences matter, that everybody's okay the way they are. Well, it's not true. And that's what the Scripture teaches. That's not my opinion, but that's what everybody wants to do. You know, don't worry about differences. Don't worry about this. It's just a more that hate crimes baloney where people can't say what somebody's doing is wrong, you know, or else they're going to get thrown in jail over it. But there is a difference. There is. That's because God says. That's because God says. Verse 28 here, still in 1 Kings 18. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. I mean, 450. I don't know if all of them, it sounds like all of them, were cutting themselves. To kind of get a response out of their God. So we want to mutilate ourselves to get God on our side is what they're thinking. Well, the blood needs to flow to have God on our side, but not ours. The blood of the Lord Jesus. See, they got it all backwards here. It's not their own blood that needs to get flowing. It was the blood of the Lord Jesus that those in the Old Testament were looking forward to. Verse 29, and it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. You know, by this time, I'm thinking, let's send a few of you guys over in the woods, and we'll give you like some kind of a megaphone or whatever, and we'll have you talk really deep voice. This is Baal. You know, or something. You know, do something to form a distraction or something. But of course, he needed to answer by fire. I don't know, maybe they could have sent a javelin or something over toward their bullock. I don't know, something. Get creative. Be kind of boring all day long, you know, then you're cutting yourself. And you think, well, let's see, what can we do here to stir up a little, I don't know, something. But it didn't work, obviously. It didn't work. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. Pardon me. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I wish I would have thought to look up at what temperature rocks burn. I mean, think about that. I mean, the bullock, I mean, we're talking about bones burning. You know, the stones burn. I don't know if bones would burn up quicker than stones. Probably the bones would. But think about the temperature. I mean, there's no doubt here. There's absolutely no doubt about that he's God. Verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look forward toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance, of Jezreel. I mean, we're talking about an absolutely fantastic, terrific miracle that God did. To prove to the people, I am God. Now, they shouldn't have needed that proof, because God wants it to be by faith. No matter what the circumstances in our life are, God wants us to believe he's good, he's going to provide for us, he's going to take care of us, but we need to believe it by faith. Now, he does show us as we go, but we need to believe it whether or not the circumstances show it or not, because we believe in the reality of the devil. And the devil does do things to discourage us, distract us. The world does as well, and so does the flesh. And so whatever that circumstance is, you know, God's still good. But even after the great victory, even after this fantastic, terrific thing God did, we know the struggle Elijah had. Let's continue on here. In chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. She had a moment here to repent. She really had a moment here to repent, to think, you know what? Am I really going the right way? You know, that's what all those guys out there in the jail, you know, they're out there, God's giving them a wake-up call that, hey, you know what, you need to figure out what I want for your life. And the one guy came out there and he said, you know, I tried to ask him, what brings you out to Bible study? You know, what's, trying to get them to talk a little bit, open up a little bit. Well, one guy said, you know, I need a difference in my life. I need something to change. And you know, that's what a lot of them say. And I told him, I just had to be honest with him. I said, you know what, I can probably count on one hand the guys that had actually made any kind of a difference that I'm aware of. And obviously there could be others. And I said, a lot of guys talk like that. But when they get out or they go back out, you know, they come to Bible study for an hour and a half or however long, and then they go back out here with these other guys and nothing changes for them. And I said, I hope it's different for you. You know, but it's going to take some commitment. It's going to take a real desire. Not just, okay, I need something to get me through these 60 days or 90 days or whatever the sentence is. it's going to have to take a real change of life. verse 2 here, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Verse 3. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. I mean, we're talking about a matter of hours. A matter of hours. And, I mean, a man with faith that Elijah had, a matter of hours, he just wants to cash it all in. He just wants to give it all up. Why? The promises he was standing on hours before, he wasn't standing on anymore. God's good. God's going to take care of us. He's God. Let him be God. And it only takes, I mean, the, you know, a messenger comes. We get a letter in the mail. We get a phone call. We get an email. Some kind of correspondence from somebody. You know, sometimes it just can put us right on our knees, right on our back, right, whatever. I mean, physically speaking, spiritually speaking, but are God's promises any less powerful before we get that message than they were after we got it? God's still God before and after. But even a man with faith such as Elijah, he left the promises. He allowed himself to get distracted. And that can happen in our lives as well. Let's see. Verse 4 here. But he himself went a day's journey under the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And see, that's what we just saw in standing on the promises. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. And that's what Elijah failed to do. But if we're honest with ourselves, we're no different than Elijah. Because we're not perfect yet, and we don't listen to the Spirit's every moment to the Spirit's call. Things do distract us at times. I know they do me. But just like Elijah, how do we get our footing back? It's the promises. It's the still small voice. It's realizing whatever kind of clouds came in, you know, there's all kinds of clouds. All kinds of clouds that come in. Car problems, a bill we didn't expect, an injury. I mean, we got all kinds of plans, you know. We want to get this done, that done. Things happen. They don't always work out. You know, we end up never getting it done, or getting it done a month later, or whatever the case is. But that still small voice, and you know, that many times is the struggle that somebody has had who becomes unruly, is they stop listening to that still small voice instead of, you know what? God has these standards and these principles set up about dress and music and many other things because he wants what's best for us. But sometimes we think, oh, well, God's just trying to restrict me. You know, he's trying to take all the fun out of life. Well, you know what? It's just not true. That's not how God is. God's good. He loves us. And that's how it happens with the feeble-minded many times. You know, we stop listening to the Spirit's call every moment, and we think life's too hard. We think this situation's too difficult. We think this struggle, whatever it might be, and it's the same thing in any situation. We got to listen every moment to the Spirit's call. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Part of it, Well, just to be plain and simple, we got to be tough. We have to be tough. We're in God's army. We're in a war. Now, that doesn't mean we all need to start, you know, training for boxing matches or something. Or for this, I don't know, fight to the death stuff almost that they have now. It's a spiritual training. It's being sober-minded. It's realizing who our enemies are. It's realizing what their tactics are. It's realizing what our weak points are, where the enemy likes to attack us. And it's being prepared. It's having the right training. Verse 3 here, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I don't know the hardness you're dealing with necessarily, nor do you know the hardness I'm dealing with. But there's one thing that we all know. Life is hard. It's tough. There's a lot of things that can go on. But whatever it is for each one of us, God says endure it. Endure. And if we have a hard time thinking about enduring, then we need to think about the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Because, you know, I think Elijah there, he's thinking, I can't endure this. This is too much for me. He could confess that. It's too hard for me. It's too much for me. And he was right. Because all the hardness that any of us deal with, it's too much for us when we try to handle it ourselves. When we forget that God has promises. When we forget that the Spirit's calling every moment. Think on this scripture. Trust in the Lord. Whenever we do that, we get to ourselves, we try to handle it in our own strength, we are not going to make it. It's too much for us. That's why we have got to stand on the promises. Now, what promise do you need? I'm not sure. But the Lord shows me the ones I need. And the Lord promises to show every one of us the promises we need for that given day, that given hour, that given minute, that given moment. But we've got to listen. We've got to be open. We've got to be humble. And then verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier." We've been chosen to be soldiers. We are in a war. And we forget that sometimes. And that's how we end up getting unruly. That's how we end up getting feeble-minded. We don't focus on those things. But the hope is, through the promises, you know, we don't have to faint in the day of adversity like Elijah did here. We have the Holy Spirit. Everybody that's born again has got the very Holy Spirit of God and the Lord Jesus indwelling every one of us. That's the same power that God used when he created the world out of nothing like that. But are we tuned into that? You know, sometimes our radio station up here gets tuned into all kinds of different things. All kinds of different things. We only need one station. Now, there might be something that tries to interfere with the reception, but we all need to be tuned into that one station so that no matter what's trying to interfere, we still know God's promises and that he's good in spite of it. We'll continue here next week. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love, and we do thank you, Lord, for in spite of the times that we do faint, become unruly, whatever the case might be, Lord, that you love us, you want us to return, and we just pray, Lord, to have the humility to be entreated in these different situations, and Lord, that we'd have the humility we need to try to entreat others that get into these situations. And Father, we just thank you for your patience, your long-suffering, your mercy in our lives, and just help us, Father, to see whatever does come into our life that we stop listening to the Spirit's call, and Lord, just have the truth we need to combat that we might walk in your Spirit with hope and love and joy that you might use us. Just continue to work, we pray, in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.